everyone, and welcome back to Bears on Tap. I'm your host, Brandon Suarez. You can follow me on Twitter at BDon300. You can follow our main account at Bears on Tap. Today, I'm joined by my two co-hosts, Ron Luce, Mr. Luce on Tap, up on my top left. And then Quentin, I don't have your app, but I know it. I was about to say Nathan Peterman is a dog. I caught myself, but I still said it. Fuck it. This is terrible.
Well, it's fuck his stats, but yeah. Nathan Peterman is a dog. Farm, so.
Hey, boys, we have won a football game. Granted, it was a preseason game, but similar to last year, we have a preseason game on the schedule that has a little, you know, elevated meaning to the people in the locker room. Obviously, last year with the Mitch game. This year, first week of the preseason, Matt Nagy, offensive assistant, quarterback coach, bald fraud, comes back to Chicago to go up against the Bears, and the Bears look awful in the first half. I mean, I don't know. It was just like Matt Nagy was still in the building, so you know we couldn't score in the first half. But I don't know. I left that first half like I didn't see what I wanted to see out of Fields in the offense when they were out there. Like I saw in flashes with the Tajay Sharp catch and the Darnell Mooney catch, but it wasn't like sustained pressure on the Chiefs defense. And then in the second half, the Bears were able to open up and they end up coming away with a 19-14 victory. But Ron, I'll start with you. Initial thoughts on just the first sign of Bears football this year that we got to see.
Yeah, well, first off, absolutely fantastic to have Bears football back. I think we've all been itching and scratching for it like a bunch of fiends. But it's back. We got it now. Preseason be damned. It's still football. But I have to agree with you. I think, you know, it was the, you know, we talked a little bit before the show, right? It was the vanilla bullshit from the first group. You're not going to see all the bells and whistles in the preseason. And, you know, but I still like, I think what I saw from Fields, I think the coaching staff echoed that very well. And then just a lot of really good individual performances, a lot of rookies standing out, guys like Tristan Ebner, Jaquan Brisker was obviously very good as the Brisker bash here in the nameplate. I'm just happy that Bears football is back. I'm so conditioned to be talking baseball this season so far. It's refreshing to be talking about the monsters of the Midway and a win. Again, preseason be damned. A W is a W.
Q, how about you?
Yeah, man. It's just good to watch some football again. I really enjoyed watching, and it was not today, the groundbreaking, but all the motion that they had pre-snap, because it tells me that they're just working on their timing for their real playbook with it, and just that we can expect to see a lot more motion this year in the offense, which gets me excited. And, you know, that we saw them do some jet sweeps and just a lot of pre-snap motion, getting guys in and out of spots, trying to decipher the defense. I just really liked seeing that.
Yeah, and Ron, I think you also brought up some good points to where we saw good individual performances, and we've talked a lot. We've said that a lot this offseason where it's like, hey, we may not see wins in the win column, but as long as we see that progression from the young guys getting better in certain situations, let's see how this team progresses over the next few years. It started right when the second half started. You know, you get out of the halftime break, it's 14-0, and the Chiefs have the ball. Any NFL game that is like, if that's Mahomes out there, that's the dagger drive. You know, if that's a real NFL game, like it's important for the team on offense with the 2-touchdown lead to go down and get some sort of points, because then now you're in a 3-possession game, you know, and only less than half of the game left. Jack Sanborn, who was, if I had to just pick favorite guy from Saturday, it had to be Sanborn, even though I like what Brisker brought to the table. Sanborn was out there a lot longer, and rightfully so, but he was also out there on special teams. I don't know how many times I looked down on punt as well, and he was the first guy there, but he comes down with a pick, and that turned the whole complexion of the game, because you get the ball in plus territory, you get Trevor Siemian out there, who I think won the second string job on Saturday alone, but I don't know what Peterman has looked like in camp. I know Quentin has a very nice stiff arm that we can't show on the stream, but I'm sure if you go back and look on his nice, like, 15-yard run, he put some dude in an absolute coffin. But it's exciting to see young guys like that, undrafted free agents, Jack Sanborn, making plays in big situations. And like you said, Ron, even though it's preseason football, it had that feel that, like, yo, not a single guy on that side of the ball or on even on offense wanted to lose that game. And they made the plays necessary to adjust and go out and win the game. So I witnessed every single emotion in my body from a Bears game in 3 hours on a Saturday in the preseason before week one. So I am already ready for whatever this season decides it wants to throw at us.
Yeah, like let's get some of the heartbreak out of the way early, right? Again, that is the nature of watching a Chicago Bears football game. You get the ups, you get the downs. But right there with you, I think what was super encouraging was a lot of the late round picks performing well, right? Obviously, Brisker's the only one that we got to see of kind of the quote unquote big three. Reports indicate right now, though, that Kyler Gordon and Avelis Jones will play on Thursday night against the Seahawks. So that's certainly encouraging news after we really haven't seen much of them in camp. But Brisker lived up to the hype, but then it was the guys like Ebner. It was the guys like Sanborn. It was the guys like, you know, even to a fault, right? He wasn't perfect, but a lot of confidence in Braxton Jones being the number one left tackle. And I think the offensive line might have been the most fascinating part of the game to watch from a personnel standpoint. And I'm not saying that just as a former big in hog myself, but it really was, right? I think that's the biggest question mark, too, on the offense, obviously outside of the receiver position, don't get it twisted. But, like, it is a lot of who's going to play where. It is a lot of, hey, is somebody going to, you know, supersede one of the two tackles from last season? And right now it seems like that might be the case with Jones, because we saw a lot of guys like Tevin Jenkins with the second unit rather than, you know, him in the first unit and kind of being that franchise left tackle. So it was just, again, the individual performances were good, but certainly still plenty of things to dice and kind of dissect. And I think especially with the offensive line.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you there, Ron. I mean, there's no question. The area on this roster with the most uncertainty is the offensive line, and not just for this year, but for the next 2-3 years. You know, we don't have a clear plan to how that's going to be fixed, that and a number two receiver, but you feel like number two receiver, you're one guy away. Offensive line, you're still 3-4 guys away, especially when you factor in how much longer is Cody Whitehair going to be here, you know? Like, I mean, so that even adds more uncertainty to it. Which is why I'm with you. It was a lot of fun to watch the offensive line play and look at guys like Jatyre Carter and Zachary Thomas and seeing what they could do, and Doug Kramer, and trying to get a feel for them out there for the first time of actually seeing them play NFL level football, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm with you on that. I really enjoyed watching the offensive line.
Yeah, and I mean, Doug Kramer just looks like and sounds like the name of a guy that played center at Illinois. Like, I'm sure he is a legend in Champaign. But I really like seeing Braxton Jones. They did a nice job on the broadcast, too, highlighting it. Like, just, you know, small school guy. And honestly, I think an NFL scouting department takes an extra sense of pride when they do that little extra bit of research and they find a guy that wasn't really on too many people's radars. And I know it's just one game in the preseason, and see what we can get with him. Like, our offensive line is the biggest project on this entire roster, and arguably one of the biggest projects, like, position groups in the entire NFL. Like, it sucks to say that, especially with what we want to see out of Fields, and seeing the track record of quarterbacks over the last 5 to 10 years that haven't gotten that offensive line in front of them, i.e. Andrew Luck, like, it's scary to think about having our, you know, the keys to our franchise, the guy that we traded a first-round pick for, behind an offensive line that, like, I wouldn't trust anyone behind right now. So right now, I just want to see growth and progression. The run game is going to be important, but the easy stuff, like the stuff, like, I'm going to get to it right now, the Khalil Herbert drops, like, that kind of stuff in an offense that we already don't think we're going to get a lot of points of, we need to clean up. And that's what the preseason's for. So hopefully, like I said in the pre-stream chat, like, hopefully Khalil Herbert's catching 100 passes a day. Hopefully Michael Schofield's practicing when dudes run across his face several times a day, and they'll clean it up, because they got to go on Thursday again. It's such a quick turnaround for the preseason. That's the one thing I'll say is I don't like the different days. It should just be Saturday, Sunday each week. Like, it shouldn't be midweek. They shouldn't try to monetize it. Like, it's just let's get these guys game snaps to get them ready for the, or for the, I almost said preseason, for the regular season.
Even like if the Bears are going to play on a Thursday, that's fine. Just make them play on three straight Thursdays, you know, like,
yes.
Why, like, that doesn't make sense to me. I'm with you there.
Yeah. And especially too, just with like the young guys, right? Cause you want to work on stuff that you saw from the first game, right? Like you want to work on the little things with guys like Fields. You want to work on the little things with guys all the way down the roster to guys like Sanborn, right? Like, but it's really tough when you're trying to put some level of a game plan together while evaluating these guys on effectively. I mean, they 100% practiced today. They might have even had at least maybe walkthroughs or something yesterday. I mean, because you really look at it, like you get, what, 2 days of practice of actual real pads, because then Wednesday's probably a walkthrough of some capacity. So, I mean, that's a really quick turnaround in the preseason. Again, like you guys said, right, it's not like, okay, this is our 53-man and we're just installing a game plan and these boys know how to hit and they've worked on stuff. No. This is like the growth stage of this season for a lot of these guys, especially the rookies, right? So like that quick turnaround, and maybe that quick turnaround though is a good challenge. I'll play a little devil's advocate here for some of these young guys, right? Because it's like that is a natural part of being in the business. There are going to be times in your schedule where you go from playing, you know, a Sunday football game to playing a Thursday game, and then you might go from a Thursday game to a Monday night game the following week, right? Like you might go from the short week to the long week and just kind of, you know, being able to feel that grind out and feel that kind of disruption of timing, I think could be good for some of the young guys. But I agree. I think it's a quick turnaround for preseason, especially this early, like especially, and here's the thing too, right? Like it's preseason. They're already playing on Saturdays and weird days. Play them on Friday at least instead of fucking Thursday. Like,
yeah,
I feel like that's just too soon.
Well, and I think too, like, what if you're nursing an injury? What if, yeah, you know, what if you're an end of the roster guy nursing an injury and that extra day or two could be the difference? You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? So I know it's a small, minute issue at this point, but it should just be Saturday and Sunday. Like, just give us those 2 days, get our bodies ready for until the week after the Super Bowl of just watching wire-to-wire football on Saturdays and Sunday. I heard Scott Hansen's voice this weekend. That was refreshing, the guy from NFL Red Zone, for those that don't know. But and one thing, too, before we get back into the football thing, too, like just talking straight about the game, what would you think, Ron, I know since you watch a lot of baseball, what would you think about, like, we just had Jim Miller and Adam Amin call all of our games, like as opposed to like we get Joe Buck and Troy Aikman this week, like as opposed to fucking whoever they want to throw in there, you get like your two guys that travel with the team all year, similar to how radio's done, you know?
Yeah, I think it would be interesting, but I mean, football is the one sport that is so nationally monetized. Right. Yeah. Like it's the one sport that you consistently know, like, okay, it's a national broadcast every week because, you know, even the noon
Gus Johnson and shit.
Yeah. Like even the noon slotted Bears game is still probably at least broadcast over a quarter of the country. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like there it's enough games where they're going to have significant viewership, right? So you want that national level talent. And Adam Amin calls games nationally, right? Like he is a national broadcaster if you want to go by theory, you know, for Fox. You know, but I like Jim Miller. I think Jim Miller does a nice job breaking the game down. I think we see a lot of him just overall in, I don't know, how do I put it? Kind of in the Bears landscape, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's like, you know, pregame and postgame shows, whether it's, you know, external content that the broadcast teams are putting out. But I'll be honest with you, I know they do radio and I know they do a great job on radio, but like give me Joniak and Thayer.
Yeah, TV. Exactly.
Just for one game, like, because those two do such a great job over on WBBM radio. And I know, I think it's actually, this is going to be the last year that they're on WBBM as well.
I think I saw that. That was the
rights,
speak, right?
Yeah, the rights are up with WBBM. But I think I like the idea of having like your broadcast crew, right? Because like
yeah.
Cubs being a good example, right? All three of us sitting here are Cubs fans. Like it's cool having Boog Shiambi and then kind of their rotating cast of color analysts every week. But at the same time, like even Boog does national duty, right? He's ESPN Sunday Night Baseball on the radio. So you know, I think it's kind of nice to have that flair of a little bit of both. I think it would be really interesting to see NFL teams have like a local TV broadcast. Obviously, like you said, they have it with the radio, right? We have that with Joniak and Thayer here in Chicago, but I think it would be really interesting. But you know what? Again, it's the preseason. Like, this is the time to experiment with that kind of stuff and have fun with it. And I thought the broadcast overall was very good. I think Amin and Jim Miller both actually played very well off each other, too.
And I think, too, like, to add to the Dream broadcast crew, Spice Adams would have to be the sideline reporter. Without a shrimp on my mind,
yeah,
it would have to be Spice Adams.
He's got to be a different character every week.
Yes.
Like a different suit or a different outfit, yeah. I can, like, totally see that.
You know how fun it would be if, like, it was Spice every week is like a, like you said, like a different character. Like, one week it's Cream Bigums and another week it's something else that he makes up. But then, like, could you imagine them having a rotating second guy that just like does like maybe two or three little clips throughout the game or like a halftime report? It's like,
yeah,
but that's when you bring in the Bears that are like good on a mic, right? Like the Alex Browns and the Matt Fortes, and like sneak some of that, you know, that nostalgia in there a little bit too with some of these guys. And it's like, okay, like that would honestly, I think, make for, because, you know, you get it sometimes with other sports, right? I feel like a lot of people will watch the broadcast just to listen to the broadcast.
100%.
I'll turn on a Sox game just to listen to Benetti and Stone because I think they are very good together. You know, it would be kind of the same way with Bears football. Like, how fucking hilarious would it be to see Spice Adams dressed up in like an orange zoot suit each week? You know what I mean?
Like those pants that Bills fans wear, you know, those kind of
the
pants.
The Zubas, yeah, Zubas pants. Hell yeah. I got a pair of Zubas Bears pants too. They're sexy as fuck.
And he would be wearing like a polo with it or like some dorky, something that doesn't match.
Or like a suit jacket. Yeah. Oh, it'd be electric. That would be so much fun. So much fun.
Yeah, Q, your thoughts on like local broadcasts, like for TV, as because we see it in basketball, we see it in football, or we see it in basketball, not in football. We see it in hockey, we see it in baseball.
Pretty much every football.
Every sport has it.
I like listening to Miller and Amin on it, just because they have more of the, you know, intimate knowledge of the team and the guys out there. But I would love to hear Tom Thayer every week with Joniak. On TV, that would be outstanding. Tom Thayer does an outstanding job at breaking down plays in the O-line. I'd love to hear that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was one time last year during, like, when I was traveling a lot for NIU football. I think I was on my way back from Michigan. And I was trying to, like, log in to the Hulu to put in my cup holder to just, like, play the audio through my car and then, like, kind of shitbag when I have chances to look down and see it. And it just was refusing to play. Like, it just would not play. But somehow, like, I want to say it, by this point I was, like, in Indiana at least. I somehow still got the Bears radio broadcast. And I was just like, fuck it. I don't even care. Like, this is still – like, that's the thing. They can tell me everything I need to know, and I'm, like, visualizing the plays in my head as they're happening, as a broadcast should be. I said could be. Should be, but
– especially on radio.
On radio, too, yeah. Also, too, I have really big news. Personal news, I have my first play-by-play call, September 2nd. Yeah, September 2nd, high school football. Let's go. Byron versus Winnebago, a game in the middle of a cornfield, which is perfect for me because I am a guy that lives in the middle of a cornfield. But I'm actually going to have to listen to a couple football calls if I can before, just to get some ideas on how I want to call things and just see, like, the energy and the vibes. But I'm pretty excited about that. But back to the football. I know I put us on a little bit of a tangent talking about radio and TV.
It wouldn't be an episode of Bears on Tap if we didn't somehow deviate off topic.
Oh, 100%. So, Quentin, I believe you told me earlier you have an activity for us to take part in today. If you want to roll the...
Yeah, sure. So we were talking about doing a buy or sell segment where we just go through some of the hot takes in Bears news recently, and y'all decide whether you're buying it or selling it and just explain to us why. So starting off, B-Don, buy or sell that there is a real shot that Michael Schofield is not the Bears' starting right guard.
I mean, you sign a guy for that type of money late in the offseason. You would want him to be that guy, but I'm going to sell. I am already preparing myself for the letdown and for the pain. And I've also seen this song and dance so many times with the Bears where they sign a guy late in camp and they think that he's going to be a Band-Aid. And I just don't know if he's that guy yet.
And just to clarify, that's buy.
You're buying. Or buy.
When you're selling it, is saying that's not true.
That's why, yeah. So that's why I have no buy or sell in my wallet. It's just all gone. It's all digital.
All right, Ron. Buy or sell.
So you're saying that he's not the starter. I'm gonna buy that as well. And the reason for it is very simple, Quentin. Very, very simple. And that is that they are trying Tevin Jenkins at right guard. And that report just came out today as we record this here on Monday. I truly believe that they see the value in having a veteran offensive lineman like that, especially in kind of, I call it your middle three of the line, right? Your center and two guard positions. I think there's a lot of value in that. I think there, even if he is your kind of sixth man, effectively, I think there's still value in that for what his contract is and for what the Bears have in money this year. Whatever, it's fine. But I think there's a real possibility that the Bears coaching staff sees something here with Tevin Jenkins and says, hey, you know what? You're not bad on the outside, but imagine if we bump you inside. Your pass game ability gets better because you almost always have help as a guard, right? Like you almost always have help as a guard. Or you're helping someone, right? Like that's just the nature of being a guard and pass pro. But then on top of it, you get the nastiness too with Jenkins in the inside where he can just start leveling people and just having a field day and do what he is good at doing. I think you could really go from an average right tackle at some point with a guy like Tevin Jenkins to an elite guard with Tevin Jenkins and that nastiness and letting him play that tough style on the inside. So I am going to buy that take, my friend. As much as I like Michael Schofield, local product, Orland Park native, out in my neck of the woods over here, I'm gonna go ahead and buy that take. I think there's a really very, very strong possibility that he is not the starting right guard on September 11th against the San Francisco 49ers.
And let me be clear, Tevin Jenkins is still not a state. I don't like him. So this, yeah, that one just put my entire brain in a pretzel, but it is like we talked about, project group, like whatever we can get out of them that's positive, just give it to us, please.
Yeah. We'll snake draft this one, so I'm going to start with you on this one, Ron. Buy or sell that Tajay Sharpe will end the season third in receiving yards for the Bears.
Ooh, that's spicy. That he will. Okay, so if we're arguing will end up third, I'm going to sell that. I'm going to say he's going to end up fourth, though. I think he's going to have a meaningful spot on this team. I think it's obviously very early, but there was some level of trust, not just with Justin Fields, obviously, to be able to throw that ball on the outside like that on the sideline for that sick one-handed catch, but also when Simeon was in the game and he became wide open down the seam and you saw kind of that touch throw from a guy like Trevor Siemian. So he's clearly got rapport with all of the quarterbacks. And I think that's very important for his chances of making the roster out of the preseason. But I think just somehow, some way, you're going to see injuries. You're going to see other things. I really do still believe that some combination of Mooney, Pringle, Velus Jones Jr., and I'm going to say St. Brown are one of three of those four, I think, are your top three, but I don't think Tajay Sharpe's very far off that third spot. So I'm gonna sell it, but it's gonna be a very, very not like I'm not super sold on that fact that I'm
bit
selling.
Bit of a wishy washy sell.
Yeah, I'm like I'm gonna sell it, but like he's not gonna be far off, but I'm still gonna sell it.
You're like I'm gonna sell it, but I'm not gonna hate it if I have to eat my words down the
exactly.
stretch.
Exactly.
Yes. Like what's the worst thing that can happen? He catches a couple too many passes, right?
He becomes a late waiver wire ad for me when I'm inevitably needing receiver depth. That's what I hear out of that.
Facts. Absolutely. Dude, I'm also getting ready for fantasy football as well. Don't ever be the commissioner of your own league. Just don't. Facts. It's terrible.
It's awful.
All right. B,
So for me, I am going to sell, and the Homer Simpson in me is going to shine here, but it's going to be Equanimeous St. Brown at number three. Mm. I think you got clear-cut number one is going to be Darnell Mooney. Number two is Cole Kmet. Three, Equanimeous St. Brown, and it's EQ, not ESB. He's been called EQ since his days back in college. I've seen both, but it is EQ. Bidon has spoken on this matter. But I don't know. I just feel like he never really had that opportunity in Green Bay. And you see the way they villainize people in Green Bay, i.e. Kevin King, i.e. Whoever the dude was who didn't recover the onside in the playoffs a few years. I forgot what that dude's name was, but he was a tight end, and I don't think he ever played in the NFL again after that. Like, that fan base villainizes people, maybe not to the level of like how Joey Gallo just got villainized in New York, but they're nasty. A fresh start on a division foe, you know, no matter what, those two games that we play the Packers, that guy's emptying the bucket. And then, too, he just hasn't had the same opportunities he's had in college. I think with this offense, where it is literally the island of misfit toys at receiver, guys that haven't really had the opportunities or have had the opportunity and haven't done what they're supposed to do in other spots, it's anybody's game. And if I have someone that I know what they're capable of in a offense that could average around 20 points a game, knock on wood, I would say over 21. That's a good question for later, what the points per game the offense will get. I'm taking EQ, so give me that.
Yeah. All right. We got another one here for you, B-Don. Buy or sell that this player, Justin Jones, playing the all-important three technique in this defense. He signed a two-year contract. Next year, the Bears can be done with him if they want. Not very much money tied up. Buy or sell that he will be the long-term three technique for the next few years. At 26 years old right now, he impressed me on Saturday. Will he be here next year?
They just got him on the two-year deal.
Yeah, not much money next year that they're not committed.
I'm going to buy it. Fuck it. Like, you have an opportunity in a hits principal team and a team that, like, they were talking about it on the when they had the interviews. They were talking about the his principle. I think it's a any given Sunday, any given guy type of team right now. I don't think that right now in this era with Matt Eberflus that we're going to be too like star heavy. I also don't think stars are very easily influenced by the Chicago Bears front office and want to come here anyways. So I think guys like Justin Jones are the perfect fit for this team where we need his services. He needs us in the form of that big contract that you get around that age in the NFL, that 27, 28-year-old contract. Fuck it. Why not? Let's ride. I'm buying.
Ron?
I like that you're on the Russell Wilson trade with him. Let's ride.
You saw I sent that to the chat earlier.
I did. I'm going to go ahead and sell this one. And I think the reason being, and not a shot at Justin Jones, I think he's a good football player. I truly do. But to your point, Q, the ever-important three-tech position in a Eberflus defense. This is not just a traditional three-tech position. It is truly the position that drives the rest of the line. We saw it for years and years in the Lovie Smith era. Guys like Henry Melton, guys like Tommy Harris went to the Pro Bowl because of their efforts in this three-tech, in this system, or at least the system that is very similar to this. And I think very quickly and easily, and then not a shot at the guy because he took advantage of an opportunity and he's here and he's going to start. They had Larry Ogunjobi locked up for 3 years at like $40 million. And then when that fell through because of the physical, then they went to Justin Jones. And Ogunjobi, they were going to give 3 years to, right? They were sold. Ogunjobi's the guy, at least for the next 3 years. He's our three tech. He's going to cause havoc. He's going to fuck shit up in that three spot. Justin Jones, to your point, only gets a two-year contract with really it being a one-year deal with just not a lot attached to that second year. I don't think he's that guy. And honestly, depending on how this season goes and how the defense performs, don't be surprised, and this is a little bit off topic, but a little bit of a hot take. We'll keep it spicy here in this buy and sell segment. Don't be surprised if they either use a high draft pick or a lot of money in the free agency market next season to address that three-tech position. Because to your point, look at those Eberflus defenses in Indianapolis. A lot of shit changed when DeForest Buckner got there and was that three tech just wreaking havoc. Could see a lot of that here too. I'm not saying Justin Jones won't have a terrible year. I just don't think he is the all-time future for this team at that three tech spot. And it's just because of how important it is in this defense. I think if it was a little less important, you can get behind a guy who's 26 years old for the, you know, for the foreseeable future. But son of a bitch, when that position can make and break a defense, especially on the front four, I just don't see him being the long-term answer.
It's a great D-line draft next year. A lot of three techs coming through. I almost kind of wonder if they sign Jones thinking this might be a guy who might be able to move over to the nose tackle spot and the four down lineman if they need him to. But he looked good to me on Saturday. That's the reason I was asking the question. I was impressed by his speed off the ball and his ability to hit the gap. One more for you guys, starting with you, Ron. Buy or sell that, assuming Roquan Smith is playing and starting, Jack Sanborn will play at least 25% of the Bears' defensive snaps this year.
That's a spicy one, Q, and you're going to make me talk about it first? Damn it. Wow, that's a tough one. Sanborn, at least 25% of the snaps if Roquan's there.
Mm-hmm. So that's Sam linebacker most likely.
Okay, that's spicy. I'm going to go ahead and buy it. I really am, because I think on Saturday, and obviously, sure, it was against twos and threes, and say what you want about that. They're still twos and threes. They're still NFL caliber players. Sanborn looked really good in coverage. I think that was the biggest thing, and maybe like the – I don't want to call it the biggest question mark, but maybe that was something truly that a lot of people needed to see, because, again, you think Wisconsin linebackers, you think fill the run and rah, Big Ten football.
You think neck roll right away. Exactly. You don't think anything past a neck roll, right?
Right. Like, yeah, you think about that lunch pail old school linebacker when you think of Big Ten linebackers. But in today's day and age, these guys have to be able to cover, even in the Big Ten, right? Like, even the Big Ten is becoming more spread out than it's ever been in the conference's history at the collegiate level. So, I truly do think he is going to play a lot. I think you're going to see him a lot of early downs, like you said, kind of at that Sam spot. Think the Hunter Hillenmeyer and the Nick Roach spots is of yesteryears. But I really think he's going to play quite a bit because he's shown he can cover. Obviously, the pick, that was a result of just good middle-of-the-road coverage. And injuries are inevitable. And even if it's not Roquan getting hurt, if Nicholas Morrow gets hurt, for example, I think Sanborn is the next logical guy to step in at that Mike position here in this 4-3 defense. So I'm going to go ahead and buy that. I think we see Jack Sanborn for 25% of the defensive snaps this season, even if Roquan is in the building and on the field for the Chicago Bears.
All right, be done.
Yeah, I'm buying it, and I'm also putting my portion of buying that in the Jack Sanborn statue on the lakefront for his performance on Saturday. So, and somehow Wisconsin players are like either current Wisconsin players or former Wisconsin players somehow got a hold of that tweet. They were just having too much fun with it. But I am all in on the Jack Sanborn hype train. Ron, we watched him for the last few years in college football. And he was just one of those guys that, like, every time when you watch Wisconsin football, you know where he's at on the field because he makes so many plays. So it's like you want to see him be able to do that consistently at the NFL level. I know it's just his first preseason game. Obviously, he's got the Seahawks up on the schedule here on Thursday. We want to see him come back out with that same type of energy. But 25% of the snaps on a team that just going to stink, like, with injuries involved, I do see it happening. I'm buying.
All right. I hope we see Sanborn blitzing some against Seattle. I feel like he gives me some Brian Cushing vibes.
Dude. Yes. That's a great comparison, Q. Yeah. Great comparison.
Just hopefully he stays off the juice, unlike Brian Cushing did.
Yeah.
Brian Cushing was like Bill Romanowski reincarnated. Like,
yeah.
That dude was just nuts. Yeah,
minus the movie appearance for the longest yard, but
absolutely. Q, I don't know, man. That might have to be broken out again for these next two preseason games. These little hot by ourselves
because keep trying to think them through.
These are spicy. I like them. I
didn't realize we were doing it, so I just came up with those ones on the spot. I'll get y'all some really good ones,
dude. Yeah, and My bad for my brain dying. I went to look in the Twitter chat because I had it pulled up, and for whatever reason, the questions were not in there, like that specific part. So, my brain just shut off, but it's all good. We make mistakes. There was mistakes made on Saturday to where it had me to the point where I was like, is this just going to be like the toughest year of football that I'm ever going to watch? And then hope was restored in the second half, and now we roll into a team that in the Seahawks that just simply just don't have the same Jimmys and Joes that the Chiefs have. So I think moving on to this game, this is like a game that I really think they could take control of early and really test things out offensively and defensively, because that's what the preseason's all about, is really just seeing what works and what players you can add that will make your team more of a contender. Obviously, the Super Bowl is not in mind, but we're trying to find guys that are going to help this team for the next 3 to 5 years, not just this year. So Jack Sanborn, I want him to be one of those guys. Jaquan Brisker, I want him to be one of those guys. I don't know how much we're going to see from Brisker on Saturday, but I know we could probably count on like 2 quarters from Sanborn. What are your guys' thoughts on the players that didn't play this past weekend? So we have Velus Jones did not play. Kyler Gordon did not play. Holcomb didn't play. Roquan obviously didn't play. But most importantly, I would say the top two in Kyler Gordon. And I totally forgot which order I went in. Hopefully you guys were listening.
Yeah, Gordon and Velus. Yeah, I think I'm intrigued. So kind of taking them one player at a time. I think I'm very intrigued with Kyler Gordon to see where they line him up on Thursday, because I know there was some reports coming out from camp that he was playing in the slot quite a bit as well. Showing good versatility, though. Love a guy that can play both on the outside and in the slot, because there's not a lot of guys that can do that comfortably, right? I mean, it is really two different coverages when you're playing in a nickel or dime set versus as an outside corner. But just to see that he's healthy, just to see him breaking on the ball, getting good reads, I think that's a big key for it. Looking forward to seeing that with him. And again, just where he lines up truthfully in the defense. And then with Velus Jones, I want to see that speed on display. I think that's the biggest thing for me, right? Like, just show it off just a little bit, right? Fuck it. Give him an end around on a receiver end around. Like, why not? Just see what happens, right? Or even just a tunnel screen or just your traditional receiver screen out on the flank. Like, get him out in space and just let him do something with the football. It doesn't have to be overly complex. You don't need to draw it up and make it look like Goldilocks, you know, from Goldilocks and Three Bears. It can look like, you know, Papa Bear or Baby Bear in this case and not be the prettiest thing in the world, but just let him get out there in space and see what happens. Because like you said, the Seahawks don't have the Jimmys and Joes that the Chiefs have, even on defense. It's very much a team that is in a rebuild and are probably going to be at the very, I shouldn't even say probably, they are going to be at the basement of the NFC West. So take advantage of the opportunity. You're up in Seattle. It's a hostile environment. Let the kids play. And I'm excited to see both of them hopefully make plays. And then guys like Brisker and the other ones that we've named continue to make plays after a good first showing here at Soldier Field against the Chiefs.
Yeah. So for Gordon, it's pretty simple. I just want to see that he's healthy and he's out there. He's moving around well, and there's nothing weird going on, because it's all just felt weird so far. But with Velus, I have a lot more that I'm interested in seeing. I want to see his speed and pads, because against NFL talent, his speed and pads, because we've seen him in college. We've seen his speed translates great against college players. I want to see how it translates against NFL starting players. So I want to see him starting the game. I want to see him out there against the Seahawks ones, see how he takes getting pressed at the line, getting, you know, a jab in the helmet, and how he handles it and still translates over to speed and not getting rattled. Two, I want to see his speed without the ball, because we all know he can run fast with the ball on kick returns, on punt returns, on screens, on handoffs. I want to see his speed in and out of route breaks, because that's something that I've been curious about with him. I haven't found much good route content to look at in his highlights or anything that are out there. So I'm really interested to see how his route running is, how his speed in those routes are. I think all reports out of camp is it's strong. So I want to see something to get excited about with him.
And then I know I talked about it a little bit at the beginning of the show, but first team offense this week against the Seahawks. What do you guys want to see from Fields and then just from that unit? Because one thing I saw on ESPN on like the bottom line is like for quarterback stats in parentheses, it would show like three series, 0 points or like something like that, which I've never seen in my life on the preseason. But I'm like, I'm sitting there and I'm like, well, shit. They said Justin would get about 20 plays. He had 3-4 series. I think we crossed the 50 once. Like, I want to see, for me, I'll go first since I'm a jag off, but I'll go first. I want to see 14 points from that first unit. I don't know how long we're going to play in the game. Maybe this is the de facto, like, formerly third game of the preseason where you get most of those first-string guys a lot of run. But I want to see 2 touchdown drives from this first-string offense on Thursday. I almost said Saturday, too. Wow.
Yeah, I think when it comes down to Fields, I just want to continue to see good decision-making. I think that's the biggest thing, and that he procedurally is handling things well. And I think that's been a word that both Eberflus and Getsy have hammered on, is procedural, like he's been good procedurally. Because if he's doing the right things, at least he's doing the right things, right? Like a perfect example, right, is the Tajay Sharp catch from week one. You know, if you've seen it, Dan Orlovsky broke it down. There's a couple other people that have broke it down as well. And they say, hey, look at him. He calls out the protection. He sees where the blitz is coming from. He brings the tight end in from a pass catcher to a run blocker. They slide the protection left. Good decision there. Like, and then he knows to tell his receiver, hey, it's man on man. Let's take a shot. Go. I'm looking at you. And they convert on it, and it was a big play. And even with a guy in his face, he still delivered the football. So I think continuing to see that out of him, love seeing the feet. Obviously, he had the first down scamper as well in that game that you like to see, especially when shit breaks down and it's like, hey, you know what? You got the space? Go for it. Run. Do it. Do it. You use your legs. That is a weapon that he has in his arsenal. I hope he gets enough protection, Beanon, to your point about the 14 points. I hope he gets enough protection, because there was a couple of times in Saturday's game where first read and he's having to run for his life because he can't even get to his second read. So I think I want to be able to just to see Justin Fields, what he looks like with time, right? Because if he can get through all of his reads, who knows? Maybe he dices up the Seahawks defense, even if it is the ones who that's what I'm most excited to see. I just want to see him have time and continue to do things the correct way in terms of procedure. And how that pays off in this offense.
Yeah, and for me, it's very similar to what Ron said. The results, I really don't care that much about the results. I care about the process here in the preseason. I want to see him build on what he showed in week one, which week one's a perfect example here. They didn't get good results in the first team offense, but his process, for the most part, was very sound. I think Getsy was saying there was only one play that he could get on Justin about, and it was when he bailed from the pocket early and scrambled and had to slide, like, after gaining maybe a yard. And Getsy was saying, you got to stay in that pocket and get your second read there. I know there was some pressure, but you had room to step up and wait. But ultimately, the play I keep thinking about, there's two, but Ron, you just talked about one that I was thinking about, but the one that I was thinking about even more than that was on the first series, Saturday, the Chiefs brought, I think it was 6 guys at him, and he hit a little dump off to the tight end, 3-4 yards, very unspectacular, but he did what he was supposed to. A year ago, he would not have hit that hot read. He would not have said, they're bringing the house, that shot downfield's not there, I'm just going to hit the hot. He would not, like a year ago, he would have taken a shot downfield, and knowing when to pull that trigger and knowing when to take what you're given is something that, you know, a lot of quarterbacks never figure out how to toe that line. And he showed a step there on Saturday. I want to see him keep show another step there and another one after.
I think the most important thing that I took from what you said is take what the defense gives you. Like, so many quarterbacks in this NFL don't do that throughout their career, and they try to force stuff, and then they're no longer an NFL quarterback. And I think to take both of your points and kind of put them towards my point, sometimes you got to use your legs. You got to remember you're a guy with 4.4 speed. At any given time, you could be the fastest player on the field. depending on who we're playing, depending on personnel. And even if you're not the fastest guy, I still like your chance with a full head of steam, knowing where you're going instead of like a linebacker that's like already backtracking, trying to figure out where you're going. You know what I'm saying? So, okay, maybe they don't get 14 points, but I do, like, I still want to see them have long sustained drives, right? Like, obviously I want to see long sustained drives, so that would ultimately lead to points. But I just felt everything that we got in that first game was so quick. Like, it was just fucking three and out right away. And I'm like, well, season's over. It's over. Like, we're already done. This is, you know, Bears football in a nutshell. But this week, lesser opponent, even though it's the preseason, still lesser opponent. Doesn't matter what string it is. And an opportunity to go out there and, like you guys said, take care of the task at hand. And one of the things that I haven't said yet, everybody get back on the plane from Seattle the same way that they got on it, because I don't think we had any big injuries this past week, so that's good for the first week of the preseason. But for those guys that may have sat out with kind of like a they were hurt, not injured kind of situation, if you played football, you know, hurt, injured, totally different ball game. If they go out there and get hurt, that's some shit that we don't need. So by all accounts, like, don't try to be a hero in a preseason game, because the result does not matter, the win, the loss. These games can end in ties. I just found that out this weekend. I was like, I forgot what game it was I was watching at work. Maybe it was like, honestly, I think it was like the Steelers game, the Mitch Bowl. And it was close at the end. It was tied. And I'm just like, I looked it up. I'm like, I don't even know what the hell happens in a preseason game. Like, it just ended in a tie. Like, they're literally just out there running plays and letting guys like us drink beer and talk about the game after. Like, I don't know how else to put it. And the NFL still makes so much money on the preseason. Like, I know tickets are significantly cheaper, but like we pointed out earlier with the broadcasting, the only reason why we're playing on Thursday is so that the NFL can broadcast this game and people will watch it. And you better believe your sweet ass, this will do better than whatever baseball game is on Thursday, whatever soccer game or whatever sport is even going on at this point. All eyes will be on this shitbag game, Bears Seahawks, getting us ready for the NFL season when we get that midseason, like 1-7 and 2-16 playing each other on a Thursday night. So, do you guys have things that you want to see from the defensive unit before we head into Thursday's battle with Seattle? The battle in Seattle. I like
that. I want to see Kyrus Tonga hold up against double teams a little better. He was getting blown off the ball when they put two guys on him. Either that or get some help his way when there's two guys gunning for him, something to help the situation, because it was really hurting the linebackers to have him falling back into them on run plays.
Yeah, I saw that too. I think, too, there was a lot of issues in the run defense. The pass defense was on point, I think, on Saturday, but the quarterback run specifically was something that you saw time in and time again. Didn't matter who was in the game at quarterback, they were able to get out of that pocket, make something happen with their legs, and extend drives in that game. So hopefully that can get cleaned up on Thursday. Like you guys said, I want to just see some of the guys. Like, I want to see Kyler Gordon in man coverage situations. I want to see him pressing people at the line, similar to how we want to see Velus getting pressed at the line. Like, I just want to see these game situations that, you know, when we hear these guys' name and when we sat on here for like 6 hours on NFL draft night just talking about them, like getting ready for them. Like, the time is now. We're less than a month away from the season. Get after it against the Seahawks. And I'm not going to put a point like total for the first string defense to hold them under, but maybe, let's say, a turnover. I would like to see a turnover, because I don't think we saw, other than the Sanborn, anything from, like, the first or, like, second unit.
It was all second unit.
Yeah, it was all second, third unit, guys. So I want to see that first string unit come up with some form of turnover on Saturday. Jesus fucking Christ, on Thursday.
Yeah. I think
it's messing me up, man.
Yeah, well, I think, too, just kind of building off of that, right, the one position to me that really stood out with that first team unit was the Will linebacker spot. I think seeing better play out of that Will linebacker spot will make a big difference because, you know, Adams gave up a couple of really easy, you know, catches to the tight ends for the Chiefs because that is the job of the, you know, of the Will linebacker oftentimes in this 4-3 Tampa 2 inspired defense. You know, the Mike is very much a coverage guy in the middle of the field. I think Nicholas Morrow had a very good game. I think he was a guy that we all echoed on the pre-show that we really liked his performance. Just better play out of the Will spot. I know everybody's going to say, well, if they just pay Roquan, that's going to get fixed. Sure, but you still need depth at the position because Roquan could get hurt at any point in the season and it doesn't fucking matter. So I think that's really what I want to see is just improve play out of the Will linebacker spot, especially with that first unit. Wasn't so concerned about the later units, but definitely with that first unit. The Will linebacker spot steps up a little more, and that Mike spot with Morrow continues to play well. I think you're going to see a better first-team performance than we did on Saturday.
Q for you.
I also want to see Nathan Peterman lower his shoulder this time and give the boom this week. I can feel it. He's so angry over all the fun that everyone's had at his expense over the years that he's just like, he's hell-bent now. He's been in the weight room for 3 years preparing for this moment, and he's going to lower the boom.
It's like he's been building up all that energy, and that energy is like a health bar in a video game, you know, like your speed bar in Madden or something exactly. Like that, where it's just like, I'm ready to see it. I'm ready to see it. The Peterman, our third-string quarterback, after you showed me that clip at the beginning, I was surprised I didn't see it in real time when it happened, but that's the stiff arm of a guy that does not want to go back to the unemployment line. And that is something that I will always respect to the fullest in this league because I always hear the, you know, when casual football fans will talk about the preseason, oh, well, the games don't matter. It's not the case because it doesn't matter to Patrick Mahomes or it doesn't matter to Justin Fields, right? But it matters to a guy like Jack Sanborn, right? It matters to a guy like Braxton Jones. It matters to the coaches and all these people that are evaluating what we have on this 93-man roster or whatever number it is that you get for training camp. Well, I was also relieved to see Bears preseason standout Michael Joseph back with us for another preseason tour. They talked about it a little bit on the broadcast, and I was explaining it to my brother. I go, dude, this guy – never actually makes the roster, but he is always, always here for the preseason. And again, he's got to eat too. I'm sure he'll find a home in one of these smaller spring leagues like this next guy that I want to talk about too, DeMarcus Gates. That's another guy that, similar to a Jack Sanborn, end of the roster guy, someone that is going to have to work a little bit harder to make it, but a guy that I want to see continue to make those type of plays on Thursday, as I've seen him the better part of the last 4 years in these like various spring leagues. So it's nice to see the Bears scouting department do a little bit of homework and find a guy that isn't your traditional prospect. So a lot at stake here. What's it called? It's not even called. It's called like Quest Field now. I think it is. Like it's some goofy out there now, but it still looks like a football to me. I think it's one of the nicest venues in the NFL. And like you said, Ron, a little bit earlier, even though it's a preseason game, that place gets loud. They're not called the 12th man for no reason. So,
absolutely. It's going to be a good one. I think it's called Lewin Field, I think is the new name of it, by the way.
Yeah. You know, sponsors are always changing shit and making it less fun. But, yeah, I think that'll about do it for us. We'll be back next Monday to dive into – what results and what went well and what did not go well in the Seahawks game here on Thursday. Hoping for another win, but like I said, there's more important things at hand. Everybody stay healthy and just get better as a team. But there is one thing that I will say before we close up. Matt Eberflus on the sideline on Saturday looked like when you start a franchise in Madden and you're in the load screen and they're in like – you're loading your coach to like make your guy right. And the first outfit that they have in the turnstile, like I kept looking at him on the sideline and I'm just like, that's me when I create head coach beat on in Madden, like same fit, the way the little, the comms thing was on his waistband, was like in the same spot. And I'm like, the way I described it was, that's any coach in Madden, you know, any coach. Because, you know, Bill Belichick refuses to be in the game. That is what I saw when I saw Eberflus on Saturday. He looks the part and he did well for the most part there on Saturday. I couldn't bear to look at Ryan Poles, and the jury is still out on him. But we get more Bears football this week. We'll be here to cover it for you. Like I said, we'll be back Monday. Who knows who I'll be with? Quentin might be here. Ron might be here. Joey might be here. And if Joey's here, I'm going to have Joey and Ron both wear the wife beaters, because this is the second time we've had three people on the show in a row and we're both wearing the wife beads. So it was a good non-coordinated but coordinated outfit plan on yours, Ron. And just come back and join us for more Bears football. Follow Ron at Loose on Tap. You could follow Quentin at Nathan Peterman as a dog. I'm just getting that bucket stats. And then you could follow me at BDon300. Don't forget to throw our main account at Bears on Tap a follow. Be back with you guys next week. And Bear down.
Bear down.
Bear down.